welcome you to Doxodeo Hatfield, a multi-ethnic family on mission, passionate about Jesus, passionate about community, and passionate about serving the city of Tshwane.
Fantastic to have you. We're part of a family of churches called Doxodeo. And can I just take a moment to say, this is our second Sunday now with three services. And I think we just need to appreciate all the guys serving so faithfully. Can we just do that? The tech team, the worship team, the kids, the dream team. I often say to the guys that when we realized we're going to have to move this third service thing up away, you know, the timeline of that way forward than what we thought third term will definitely be fine. And then it just didn't turn out that way. We needed some space. Sometimes it feels like it'd be great to have an on-ramp to something. And sometimes it's a step up to something. And this was a step up. But I just want to appreciate so much all of the guys in our church, the partners who are just doing such an incredible job. And some of them in the season are serving three services on a Sunday as we build up capacity. Team. So I just want to make that a rallying cry for all of us again, that all of us need to be serving somewhere. I think that's how we own what we do as a church together. Amen? Amen. So let's open up a Bible together, Doxodeo Hatfield, to the book of John, chapter 10, verse 27. John 10, verse 27. As you're finding your place, I've got a friend who's a hydrologist, and so he does most of his work. He does 3D modeling of water structures, and it's mostly for people overseas. And so not too long ago, he was in a Zoom meeting, and he said, as they're kind of kicking off and everyone's trying to make the small talk, there's a whole bunch of people around the virtual table from a bunch of different countries, and this one guy is from Switzerland. And one of the other guys from North Africa, he makes a comment, a bit of a kind of sly comment to this friend of mine about load shedding, kind of asking him, how's it going with load shedding in South Africa? And this phrase just kind of triggers this Swiss guy. He's like, what do you mean load shedding? What does this mean? And so my friend explains to him, and this guy is dumbfounded. I don't know if there's like an emoji that recognizes like the shop, there's some balloons that go up. Like this guy is floored. He cannot believe it. He says, so what you're saying to me in the thick Swiss accent that you are paying for electricity, but there's no electricity. He says, yes. And he explains, and this becomes like a 5-minute conversation. And the guy chairing the meeting, he just wants to move on. He's like, guys, this was small talk. Like, and this guy just like, wait, I just want to make sure, like, how does this work? So you, and they go on and on. So eventually it's like, okay, can we just move along swiftly to get into the meeting, please? But you could see this Swiss guy couldn't believe it. For him, it was impossible to think that you could live the modern life without electricity. It's not feasible to live life in the modern world without electricity. And this morning, we want to transition as we've been focusing in on the King who is Jesus over the next couple of weeks to a series for the next 6 weeks we're calling Empowered. We want to say that it is, yes, not feasible. Our Swiss friend has good theology. It's not feasible to live modern life without electricity. But the Bible said it's impossible to live the Christian life, the life of a follower of Jesus, someone who is apprenticing with Jesus to become human again. It's impossible to live that life apart from being empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's impossible. What happened on the heels of Jesus' resurrection was a focus now on the presence and the power of God through his Spirit. Load shedding is a pain, but life without the Spirit is impossible. So maybe just two simple questions to kick us off this morning. Number one, who is the Holy Spirit? And secondly, we could just ask, why, if you are a follower of Jesus, I don't make that assumption of everyone this morning, maybe you are still trying to figure out what that means, but if you are a follower of Jesus, why would you need the Holy Spirit's power and presence in your life? So first up, who is the Holy Spirit? This word in Greek, pneuma, simply means breath, and at other times wind, or the movement, powerful movement of air in a whole bunch of different contexts. So it's almost highlighting these two dimensions of who the Spirit is. He is the presence closer than your breath, and he is the power of God. But very often, because the New Testament authors wrestle with the nature and the work of the Holy Spirit, and at times they'll use abstract language to try and explain that to us, like oil or wind or water or a dove, I think it's kind of crept into many Western people, at least in their mindset. I don't think in Africa we have it so fully, but many people think that the Holy Spirit, therefore, is something of a disembodied force, an it. It's something that we need to harness. I spoke to someone the other day and they were so fully convinced of this idea of the law of attraction, that I need to make sure that I'm sending out positive thoughts to the universe, and in return, the universe will bring positive things into my life. Many of us think of the Holy Spirit like that, the Father, man, it's this concept of identity and it's beautiful. And then Jesus, the cross, we are people of the cross, but the Spirit feels a bit difficult to grapple with. But I want to say that that's not at all how the New Testament speaks of the Spirit, not as an it. John 14:26, Jesus in fact says, the helper, listen to how personal this is, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, not it will teach you, he will teach you all things. We would never speak of God the Father as an it. I wouldn't say of Jesus, it died for me on the cross. That sounds a bit weird even as I say it. And so too, the Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. It's the three persons of the one in essence God. And this person is as much person as God the Father and Jesus is. Now, why is he called holy, you ask? Why Holy Spirit? Is it like some of you have old school Bibles with the gold, you know, imprint on the front, Holy Bible? Is that like, you know, the Spirit, he also needs something in the front to make it special, Holy Spirit. Why is that? And I think if you ask most people, if you put that question to them, why the Holy Spirit, people would probably say, well, because he is holy, right? As Pravani just said, not the holes that we have in our clothing, but he is the Holy Spirit. But I want to say, I don't think that's sufficient. I don't think it's sufficient because a name is meant to differentiate you from someone else. And the Father is holy. Jesus is holy. And what we see if we work through the New Testament is a theology that says the Holy Spirit is called such because he makes his primary focus and work making us holy. Holy meaning set apart for relationship and representation for God. To live in a relationship with God and live as a representative of God, that's our calling. To enjoy God forever, to live for God forever. And the Holy Spirit says, that is my fuel, that is my food, that is what I love to do, to make out of the sons and daughters of God those who are holy, made for him. So listen to the verbs as Jesus speaks about the Holy Spirit. He says he will teach you. He will bring you to remembrance. He will bear witness about me. He will convict the world. He will guide. He will glorify. This person of the Holy Spirit loves to make us like Jesus. And so that leads us to the question, why would any Christian, why would a follower of Jesus need the Holy Spirit's power in their life? And I think that's like asking, why would an Olympic lifter need strength? Why would a race car driver need an engine in his car? Why would a sprinter need, you know, short twitch muscle fibers? Why would they need that? It's the very same question, because as aggravating as it is not feasible to live modern life without electricity. Our Swiss friend with his good theology, it's true. But it is impossible to live the life that you've been called to live. Friends, can we say, plumbers, poets, pediatricians, programmers, you cannot live your life as a daughter in your house without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live life as a businessman without the power of the Holy Spirit. You cannot live life as a pediatrician or a painter or a plumber without the power of the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. And so we need to say, in echoing Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus is raised up and he returns to the Father. But before that, he makes this promise. And that's what this whole series is going to focus on. In Acts 1 verse 8, he says, wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. Because when you receive the Holy Spirit, you will be empowered. The power of the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be my witnesses. We need to live our lives empowered by God. We cannot simply be. Some people still think that the basics of the Christian message is come and form part of a community that's striving to be good and different. That I cannot think of a worse life. Can I just be honest? To have rhythms that don't match the rest of our city with you guys, where we have nothing in common, multi-ethnic, multi-generational church, and we are trying our utmost to be just different and good, I don't want to do that. No, he says, I'm bringing you into a life that is not meant for the different rhythms of now and a promise of heaven later. It is of new life that begins now. A new life asks for a new power. It asks for you to be plugged into someone. And we cannot go without it. So we're going to look at a couple of aspects of who and what the Holy Spirit does. We're going to look at the voice of the Spirit, the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit, the presence of the Spirit, the conviction of the Spirit, and the life of the Spirit. And by week six, I'm trusting that we would have settled in our hearts that there is an invitation for you to never get bored of your Christian faith. Because God is infinitely greater than you and I can ever imagine. The moment I use a word to describe God, I have infinitely failed at even describing an inch of who and what he is. Man, there is so much more. I remember Benjamin, our middle child, when he saw the ocean for the first time, he was still strapped. We just parked in the parking lot in front of the beach. He was strapped into his chair. And though he was strapped safely into his chair, when he just saw the ocean, he was so freaked out. He did not want to move. He started crying. He didn't want us to even move. He just grabbed hold of his chair like this. He's in the parking lot, friends. He's not like in the deep waves. But in time, I've seen him become like an animal of the water as he moves closer and closer. He loves the water. But guess what? There is so much more. There's so much more. And God says some of us, we are so securely strapped into the seats in the parking lot. And he's inviting us to say, hey, there's much more. If you think you've reached it, you have not begun yet. There is so much more. And if you feel a bit weary, skeptical, you're in good company because the disciples, having walked with their rabbi, Jesus, that was their paradigm. A rabbi does not abandon his students. That's how would he be a rabbi otherwise? And then Jesus, towards the end of his ministry, starts telling them, but I'm going to go away. And they reply very, nicely, no, that's not a good idea. We hear you, we raise you with a no, thank you. But listen to him, he's adamant. This is a strong statement. Jesus says, after 3 years of close relationship, he says to them, nevertheless, I'm telling you the truth. It is for your benefit that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the counselor will not come. But if I go, I will send him to you. And that word counselor, we can't really have one English word that translates it perfectly, but it's helper, it's encourager, mediator, comforter. Jesus says, you know what's better than God right next to you? It is the presence of God within you, and it's the power of God working through you. He says, it's to your benefit. Do you think having the embodiment of God next to you is incredible? Wait until you have the privilege of having the presence of God within you and the power of God working through you. Can I read this to you? Professor Richard Harries, I want us to understand how profound this is, what we are invited into. He speaks and he comments on the baptism of Jesus. And listen to what he says. He says, this is the threefold relationship. In this moment, the Father speaks over Jesus and the Holy Spirit descends upon Jesus. And he says, that is the threefold relationship in which Jesus lived out his whole ministry. Jesus, whether you believe in him or not, whether you buy this Christian thing or not, he is the single most influential person to ever live. It's not even a contest. Historians will wrestle you under the table to prove that fact. And that Jesus, it says, had this threefold way of living. He lived as a beloved son to his Father. The Father speaks over him at his baptism. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he was secondly enabled to do what he did. Why? Because he was filled by the Spirit. Son of the Father, empowered by the Spirit. And then he says this, this is the very life of God into which people are taken by their faith. I'm a Christian. I'm trying to curse a bit less. I go to this church once every now and then on a Sunday. I'm trying to be a good... No, he says, you are taken into Trinitarian new life. That's what happens when you put your faith in Christ. You are reborn, reconnected. You are grafted back into life itself. And that's why through Christ, believers share the relationship with God that Jesus eternally enjoyed. We too are his daughters and sons, called to live out this loving relationship to the Father through the Holy Spirit who dwells within us. This is life, friends. This is life to the full. When you know constantly and hear and respond to your Father speaking over you, this is my beloved son and daughter in Jesus, whom I love, I am well pleased with you. And then when you say, I'm open to and I'm willing to step toward the empowerment and the presence of the Holy Spirit, this is life. So today, let's just spend a couple of minutes looking then at the voice of the Holy Spirit. How do I hear the voice of the Spirit for everyday life? For my calling, for identity, for who I am. Friends, just know that there are a million voices in the city speaking, screaming at you every single day. Gauteng does not whisper, it screams. C.S. Lewis says, when we wake up in the mornings, there's a second where you almost don't realize you're awake yet. Then your mind is just clear. 1 second later, it's like animals, wild animals who just run at you in your mind. Isn't it true? He was describing Gauteng. The message of this province is screaming, running like wild animals at you constantly. In the presence of that, yes, like Hadi does in the mornings. In a province like this, I want to live my life with the voice of the Spirit who loves me, who knows me, who has the calling of my life deeper in his heart than I can ever have it, who's calling out things from me that I can't even see for myself. That's the voice that I want to live according to. So can I take you to a whole theology, a little mini PhD about the Holy Spirit? We love preaching through long chunks of scripture in this church, but I want to give you one verse today. One verse, and in it you will find a little PhD on pneumatology. And this is this. Jesus says in John 10, verse 27, my sheep, they hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Just let that sink in for a second. Three very simple movements that Jesus invites us into. This is how we are to do life. My sheep, they hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Three things that I see in this passage, very simply. Three things that I want us to commit to open ourselves up to. Can I take the seatbelt off your little seat in the parking lot? Can I help you do that today? Because there are three things. There's a determination to know God's Spirit, a desire to hear His Spirit, and a decision to obey His Spirit. Very simply. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. First up, I see a determination, there's a desire, there's a hope, there's a moving towards a knowing of God's Spirit, a knowing. He says, I know my sheep. That's a strong word. I know my sheep. Now, if you know anything about me as a person, you will know that I have a bad habit of filling almost every empty second of my life with podcasts in the background. It's a bad habit, I know, but it's better than smoking. So that's where I am for now. But because of this, I think over the last, 15 years of doing this in the car, in the gym, packing the dishwasher, whenever I have a second, I'm listening and I'm studying. And because of this, there are certain people through podcasts, whether it's Lex Friedman or Joe Rogan or Kerry Newhoff, whoever it is, I think I've listened to so many hours of these people that in a sense, I do think somewhere in my heart that I know them. I honestly think I know them. So if Lex Friedman were to walk down the street here in South Africa with this thick Russian accent, the weird thing is I would see him and I would instinctively go out to greet him. He'd be walking and I'm like, Lex, dude, what are you doing in South Africa? Yes, and I come in, you know, for the greeting. I want to pull him closer. And here's the thing. He has, you know, he's an MIT professor, but he also has a black belt in jiu-jitsu. So I do think it would end in a broken arm. But that would not be my fault because I honestly feel like I know him. I've listened to hours and hours and hours. I can finish some sentences of his at this point, I'm sure. But the issue is, why is he breaking my arm on the side of the street here in South Africa? Why is he doing that? That's a good question. The answer is, he doesn't know me. It feels like I know so much of him, but the reality is I don't know him, and he doesn't know me. The place we begin the conversation about hearing the voice of God should not begin with, God, I need help, I need direction, I need answers. It must begin and must always begin in this place. God, I want to know you. I want to know your heart and your character. Yes, I have big questions. Yes, I have desires. Yes, there's directional things that are, but guess what? All the direction in the world will never fix what is truly at work in your heart. Every answer that you get might actually take you further from God. God, should we make this move in life or not? That is always secondary to God. I want to know you. I want to know you. John 17 verse 3. You'll see so many of these passages today are between John 15 and 17. And Jesus says this. He says, this is eternal life. And what is that? That they may know you. That's beautiful. Someone asks you, what is Christianity all about? What does it mean to be fully alive? St. Ignatius would often say, man fully alive is the glory of God. What is man fully alive? To know him. How often do we use this passage from Revelation 3 verse 20? Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come to him and eat with him and he with me. And often people use the scripture to speak about evangelism. Do you feel tonight, you know, if a bus drives over you, do you know that Jesus is knocking at the door of your heart and it's cold outside? Jesus is shivering. Open the door of your heart, friends. All right. Except that's not what this passage is speaking about. No, Jesus is writing to a Christian congregation, to people who are following Jesus. And he's knocking at the door, not to begin a relationship, but to deepen a relationship. He's saying, I desire to enter into the space of your life and that we can commune. Friends, there is nothing that you need more today than a closer and more intimate relationship with God. Can I say to the men here today, you don't need answers firstly. You need to know God. You need to walk with God. That is what you need more than anything else, a determination to know God's Spirit. But secondly, he says, my sheep, yes, they hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. Secondly, a desire to hear God's Spirit. To hear God's Spirit. My sheep hear my voice. That is so simple. That's my greatest desire. Can I tell you today, as a husband and as a father and as someone who, like you, I just have a calling upon my life to follow God. This is all I want. I just want to hear the shepherd's voice and follow him. And so Jesus says there's something of a desire in our hearts to hear God's Spirit. He says, my sheep hear my voice. But do you know that these little sheep, they did not come out of the oven pre-baked with this ability. They had to learn what the voice of the shepherd was like. And what do we do when we want to learn another language? We connect with others. Where is the language spoken? Put yourself amongst people like that. You study what the movements and the syntax of that language is. You try and recognize it. You try and put little phrases together. You try your best to connect with the broad strokes. Friends, we need to learn how to hear the voice of God. It's okay if you feel, I didn't come pre-baked as a new Christian, whether at the age of 5 or 55 or 75, I've come to know Jesus. I don't know how to do this yet. That's okay. We learn how to hear the voice of the Spirit. And I know today we're really covering basics, but it's because we are missing the basics in modern life, friends. We're trying to leapfrog into things that are actually a bit irrelevant. And what the city needs are people who are living and basing their lives on the basic, powerful tenets of Christian faith. And so can I just highlight four things? There are many others, but four ways that I think the Holy Spirit speaks to us through experience, supernatural means, natural means, and the scriptures. Just really quickly, through experience, trials, victories, common events. In 1 Samuel 15, when Samuel turns to leave the troubled king Saul, Saul in anger grabs a hold of his cloak and he tears it in half. And in that moment, there's discernment. Samuel's not a warlock and he's not like, you know, he's not a witch or something. He just discerns in his mind and he says to Saul, this act of the tearing of my robe is speaking of what God is busy doing in your life. He is tearing the kingdom away from you to give it to someone who's more worthy. It was just a natural event that suddenly got infused with supernatural meaning because Samuel was just open to listen. And so can I encourage us that without going to the extreme of saying God is causing all these things in my life, God will use many things in your life to speak if I'm willing to listen. Even the suffering in my life, again, please don't go to the place of saying God is causing it. But again, as C.S. Lewis says, it is often the megaphone of God, those seasons of suffering, because God can step into that and speak so clearly. Sometimes in our victory, sometimes in our struggles, sometimes in the mundane issues of life, God can speak if we will learn to listen. God speaks through very, very tangible and practical things. But secondly, he speaks through the supernatural. If we are going to let go of this, we will become Christian atheists, friends. We'll become Christian atheists who say it's Father, Son, and Holy Bible, and I believe that God is good and moral and strong, and we will change the city and we will do charity, but this whole supernatural thing, I don't know, it's not for us. We cannot allow that. We cannot allow that. We will rob Christianity of what it actually is. Just because we're not seeing it fully at any one moment of our lives is not license to say it is not there for us. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's here. It's arm's length away. Access what is actually all around, and that is God's Spirit. So yes, dreams, visions, angelic visitations, that stuff happens today. Paul, who was not a man of superstition, he was a learned intellectual man. He was set on a mission to honor his heritage by fighting against the silly little Jesus movement. And on his way to Damascus, Jesus appears to him in a vision, in a supernatural appearance. And it changes his life radically. Probably after Jesus, Paul is the most influential person in the history of the world. Think about it. It's all because he was open to, in that moment, allow God to speak to him supernaturally. I'll never forget the end of my matric year, I'd just become a Christian, and at this camp we were at one evening in worship, one of the leaders comes to me, and I am just very skeptical as a person in my heart. I cannot rid myself of that. That's how Jesus made me. So I've seen this person, you know, speak to other people, as they would call it, prophetically. Prophetic doesn't mean foretelling the future, it's forthtelling, just what is God saying. And sometimes we get it wrong, but this person, I could hear from other people, there was something of a sensitivity in his heart to what God was saying. And so now as he's approaching, I'm like, okay, now all the defenses, I'm engaging all the shields and the discernment, whatever this guy's going to do, like I'm not going to be caught out by this guy. And he just says, listen, can I just share a word with you? I'm like, yeah, sure. Looking all casual, like, yeah, try your best. Let's see. And without going into all the details, this guy, without knowing me from a bar of soap, we have not even spoken at this camp. He's from another province. I've never met him. He literally starts just laying out my whole relationship with my father in just excruciating detail. Lots of father-son stuff going on here. Sure, none of you guys have that, but I have some of that. And in this moment, this man just, it's almost as if God was like, okay, before we say what I want to say, let me show you why I can say that. I know you. I know what's bothering you. I know what's going on in your life. And this guy just lays it out so calmly. Friends, he didn't go to Hogwarts. He was just a normal person, just allowing the Spirit to speak. But because of that, I was open for the first time to hear God speaking into my life. God will speak through the supernatural, even to hardened skeptics like myself. But he's going to speak through natural means, friends, as well. Through fellowship, I hear the voice of God clearly through so many people in this church. I very seldomly drink coffee with people unintentionally. I'm listening for the Holy Spirit to speak. And we often joke about, you're a poet, you don't even know it. You don't even know how the Holy Spirit is speaking through so often. It blesses people so often through sermons, dreams, pictures we see in our minds. Sometimes it is just a sentence fragment or just a word that the Holy Spirit puts in your mind. I really want to emphasize this. This is the place where often we need to begin this journey. To say, guess what? Do you realize how weird it is that you speak to yourself the whole time? Have you noticed that? You're a bit strange because you will do something and you will think, okay, I wonder what I'm going to do this morning, or why did she just look at me that way? That's pretty strange. Who are you speaking to, friend? You're speaking to yourself. So there's something really amazing about the human experience. We have this unbroken conscious conversation going on. So God, of course, who is spirit, is going to access that conversation for his purposes. And there are moments where I realize, almost like an army invading your country, that this thought feels foreign. Not in a bad way. Sometimes I've had foreign thoughts that I'm also like, sure, this is bad stuff. Get out of here. But there are moments where I realize this thought, though in my mind, is not from my mind. And I almost need to just think, what is this? It's just a sentence fragment. It's just a word. Again, it's not hocus pocus, friends. We are just learning to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. But fourthly, he speaks through Scripture. That's the one we're all like, oh, of course you need to say this because you're a pastor. Guess what, friends? If you're not hearing the voice of God, open up the Bible. Not again for all the direction and the, you know, should I go to the Western Cape or to KZN? Or, of course, we know what the answer is there, so you don't need to go to the Bible. No, the answer that you're looking for, again, is intimate relationship with God. Guess what? God is infinitely more concerned with who you are becoming than where you live, friend. He'll use you wherever. We are so concerned with the zip code. And Jesus says, I want to commune with you where you are. So open up the Bible, not for information, but relationship. Just read the Gospels for the next 100 years and you'll be fine. If you're like, I can't get into all the rest yet, trust me, you will not get through the Gospels alone in this life and have exhausted it. I'm not actually saying just read the Gospels. You get what I'm saying, friends. The point is open up in the New Testament and read and say, God, I just want to know you. I just want to know you. 2 Timothy 3:16, so famously, all Scripture is inspired by God. It is profitable. For it to be profitable, you need to read it. We are in a Bible epidemic, friends. None of us. Let me say it on behalf of us. We're not reading the Bible. We just not. People were shocked 2 weeks ago when we added one of our NCD results. It looks exactly the same for all churches. When we added that into our community group notes, when we said we answered those questions, more than 100 of us filled in that thing. And it said that we do not enjoy reading the Bible, and the Bible is not a direction-setting almost apparatus in my life. That's what we said. I'm not shaming us, because it's us. That should not be something that stops the conversation. It's inviting us. Open it up. God will meet you there. Charles Spurgeon would often say, it's now difficult because I'm also reading everything electronically, but he would say, someone whose Bible is falling apart, their life is usually not falling apart. I just think, just read it. Just get into it. He will meet you there. I'm going to skip that video so we can get to this last point quickly. Finally, here's the key. If you want this to work, here's the decision you need to make. A decision to obey God's Spirit. And they follow me. And they follow me. Friends, God does not desire to be your consultant. His retainer is too high. you cannot afford him, unfortunately. He does not make suggestions. He's too good of a father. He's too wise. He's too powerful to make glorified suggestions. He wants to know you. He wants to speak to you. But the key to unlock that to dimensions that just increase and increase and increase is this simple word. Is it another course on hearing the voice of God? Is it another acronym to what does the H and the E and the A and the R mean? No, it's just doing what he says. That's it. And I'm speaking to myself. What's the last thing he said to you? Do it. That's it. Why would he say something again if he has already spoken? There's a key for us, I think, in John chapter 2. The context here, Jesus does his first miracle. He's at a wedding and massive, massive issue. At a multi-day Jewish wedding, the wine runs out. And this is not your Friday evening wine has run out. This is like really bad. And so what does Jesus' mother do? She knows that he can do something about this. And she takes some of the servants who are really going to face just uphill battles because of this massive cultural blind spot. And she takes them together and she brings Jesus in. After a short little discussion, the following goes down. She says to them, do whatever he tells you. And they take water jars that were meant for Jewish purification. It's glorified bathing water in these massive jugs. And he says to them, they must bring it and fill them. And then he says, draw from them and take it to the head waiter. And what did they do? And they did. Powerful. Jesus will turn water into wine when he speaks and we listen and we obey. Do whatever he tells you. It's really not that difficult, friends. God is lovingly speaking. What you hear, simply obey. We all know Gary Chapman's 5 love languages, right? Quality time and gifts. And some would say that there's a 6th one, ice cream at the end of a long day. That's definitely some of your love languages. I could see last week when we had free ice cream. Cookies, okay, that's a 7th. Okay, let's leave it there. But God has a love language, friends. God has a love language. Jesus says, John 14, verse 15, if you love me, you will keep my commands. God's love language is so simple. Just obey. You can trust me because I love you more than you would ever be able to love yourself. And I know more about you than you know about yourself. That's a powerful combination. Who knows you better than you do and loves you more? That one says, just obey me. I think about just one guy and then I'm going to land. He's in one of our other Doxa Deo campuses. I saw him the other day just sitting across me. I had coffee with someone, and I was just reminded of a story. He owns a couple of restaurants in the city, and this one morning he sees as he comes in just one of the waiters in one of their restaurants, and she just looks incredibly downcast. And it's that moment where that invading thought, it's time. You know, restaurants, it's everything. There's no time. And so he just experiences, no. Go into your office, ask her just how it's going with her, and listen, actually. And he's like, okay, Usa, let's do this. All right, just come and chat with me. And he asks her and he listens. And she goes on to speak about physical abuse happening in our home at the moment and how it's been happening for 20 years. That she's been emotional, physical, and spiritual punching bag for a man who does not know his father. And just through that moment of listening, there was a moment of such deep connection and a new relationship between the two of them kicked off that day of intentional relationship where he was able to help her and eventually this band moved out and eventually she was able to stand on her own 2 feet. And years of this relationship has borne such beautiful friendship between the two of them. Her life has been transformed simply because he did not just hear, he obeyed. Just do whatever he tells you. So in closing, many years ago, you'll see there's a picture of our kids when they were still young. Shay is teaching them how to ride their bikes. And I think she had, isn't Mia just the cutest? She's stealing the show in the bottom left there. But my wife is so incredible. She is incredibly good with the grace and the truth of what it means to be a parent. And when, you know, I'm very directive and let's teach them. But she is so good because she knows what they need. When you're teaching them to ride a bike, you just need to come in alongside them. Just come in alongside them constantly. And there's just that affirming voice and that reassuring touch. And you just keep coming alongside them until you have that smile on your face. If they don't even realize it, look at how they're going. I'm here. My hand is close. But look at who you are becoming. That word, the Parakletos, the Holy Spirit, just means the one who comes alongside us. Tomorrow morning, when you step into work, into parenting, when you step into your studies, back into school, I want us to say, this God wants to empower me, not with a new set of morals or just a new rhythm for a Sunday, but he wants to come alongside me in everyday life. And that you would be able to know him, to hear him, and to simply obey him. And as we do that, I'm telling you, this city will never be the same, because you will see armies of followers of Jesus going into their Mondays with the presence and the power of their loving, powerful God, just guiding them. And he'll smile and say, look, look at how they're going. This is what he's inviting you into. So can I pray for us, and then we're going to respond. Holy Spirit, thank you that you are in this very moment coming alongside us. I pray that in this very moment, God, we're praying this ancient prayer. Just come, Holy Spirit. And I pray this morning that you would, for each and every person, as we just quiet our hearts, God, what is it that you want to get our attention about? Where do you want to draw our attention this morning? Thank you that I know you are so good, so trustworthy, so wise. I pray this morning that we would just hear you and obey you. In Jesus' name we pray.